almost feel like I don't need to stand here and say anything this morning. The words of that song are this passage, aren't they, that we've read? That sense of knowing you, Jesus. There's no greater thing. You're my all. You're my best. You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. That is what we're here to think about this morning. Those words about what it means to know Christ, to have him as our all in all. In some ways, I just wish I'd let the worship group play for the next half hour, even going over that song and just putting our focus on Christ. Because this morning, that is our title, our priorities, our focus. And priorities, oh my goodness me, life can get busy, can't it? And our priorities come into strong focus. Often I find myself, and this is a terrible confession, I sit down in church and it's that first moment to stop of the day. And then I start thinking through, right, what things do I need to do this week? What do I need to make sure is in order? What does my diary look like? Shopping, check. Appointments, check. Has the car got fuel? Check. Thank goodness it does. And it's so easy to do that. And even as I wrote this sermon, almost every single time I sat down reading those words about my priorities, I added two more things to the shopping list. It's just the way my mind works. And now that I've mentioned that, I wonder if that's the way your mind works and you're starting to think through your jobs for this week, your priorities. What are they for this coming week? For the school teachers amongst us, it's nothing. Is that right? Yes, thumbs up. Except Cheryl's got a list for you, Bernd, I'm sorry. But it might be childcare. It might be what activities you need to put in, what food shopping needs to get done, the pressure at work, catching up with friends, sorting out your insurance, booking the dentist. Or if you're blessed enough to be retired, it might be thinking, what time shall I have coffee tomorrow morning? What time shall I read my paper? Shall I dig up a flower bed? Maybe not. If only life were that easy as a retired person. My dad tells me it isn't. Life so easily becomes absorbed in things and in busyness, doesn't it? We trying to fit in something social can feel like a chore in itself sometimes. This morning, congratulations, pat on the back, because you have made it to church in this hideous weather. Jemima said to me this morning, Mummy, do we have to go to church? And I was like, today we do have to, yes. Mummy needs to work this morning. Mummy's got the sermon to deliver. I don't think Ian would thank me if I stayed in bed. And she said, if you weren't working, Mummy, would we go to church? I think she was looking at the weather. And yet, it's a good question, isn't it? What do we fit in on a weekly basis? And do we manage to spend time with our God daily? If church has been our priority today, that's great. Is it going to be our priority tomorrow in worshipping God? And if we kind of put in a slot for God, our quiet time at some point in the day or time to pray, those things are great. But actually, I think there's such a danger in that too. It defeats the whole purpose of today's subject of what our focus is. Because if we just put God in a little slot in the morning or a little slot in the evening and our prayer time in a little slot, actually, I think we're in a big danger line, aren't we? That actually God wants to be Lord of all our lives, not just of one particular time when perhaps we prioritize. He wants to be our priority for our every part of our day. Over the coming weeks, we're going to be considering this topic and looking at the following topics: holy diaries, holy worship, holy finances, holy being. All of these are major priority calling, demanding areas of our lives. So if today's topic isn't about these things in particular, what is it? Well, priority is defined as something which is regarded as something that's more important than others. So priority, something more important than others. So surely if this is the case, that which is of greatest importance for us today, tomorrow, is eternal, isn't it? About knowing God, exactly like we just sang. And so it brought me to my favourite passage. Isn't it great when you're the preacher and you can choose your favourite passage? So this morning we have my life passage. And I hope that this is my priority, my focus. And when someone looks back at my life at my funeral, I hope they use these verses from Philippians 7 to 11. It says this: but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. There's that sense in this passage, isn't there, that there's nothing of value in the here and now compared to knowing Jesus. Nothing is more valuable, nothing is more important, nothing compares. And I speak today from a place of blessing. God's blessed me with a fabulous family and wonderful friends. He's blessed me with all my needs provided. Don't get me wrong, I'm not rich, but I've never been destitute. I have a lovely home. I have a car. I have food on my table. I have a calling to this ministry. So many blessings, so much richness in my life. And yet I can stand here this morning and say nothing is of value in compared to knowing Jesus as my Lord. When I first left school and went to serve God in London City Mission, there was that real sense of calling. And when I went, I thought I was going to be the worst Christian there. I was struggling to have my quiet times. I was struggling to prioritize God on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis. And when I went there, I thought everyone else would have got it sorted. What I found was other people like me. People who struggle for each day, who struggle to always make Christ a priority. And yet during that time, I so learned the value of making that space for God, that time to worship, that time to pray, that time to read God's word, of rising early. And then it absorbs into your day. And the difference that those early hours made was phenomenal. Somehow it was easier back then, on a pocket money of £7 a week, to be able to give it all away. How much harder now that I have more. And so when I was younger, it was much easier to count everything as rubbish, to leave everything behind, even to the point where God called me to Africa and to go and serve him out there. And it was a great honour and a great privilege. But how much harder now that I have a house and a family and a job. It's tricky. Last week, Ian said how brilliant the BMS couple were, and they were. They were absolutely fantastic. Those of us who heard them, it was inspiring to hear their story. An older couple, not much older than me, but a couple who had given up their wonderful professions that they could have been earning lots of money and be very comfortable in this country, but they followed God's calling and they went to serve him abroad. Prioritizing God. We're not all called to go abroad, to give up everything in that sense. But we are all called to prioritize God in every season of our lives, at the start of our lives, the middle of our lives, the end of our lives. I wonder if you're sitting here this morning and you know that this message is for you. God is your priority and you want to make sure he continues to be your priority. Or maybe you're sitting here this morning feeling a little bit uncomfortable. Actually, yeah, I need to work on this, Jan. This is something that God needs to speak into my life. I need to prioritize God more. Or maybe you're sitting here this morning thinking, I really don't need this message. I believe in God, but I need to keep him there because the rest of my life is my priority where I'm going. And yet we're all called to faith in Christ. And faith is about leaning heavily on our Lord. It's not supposed to be something that's hard. It's not something that we should even need to work at in one sense. It's a sense of letting go, of needing Christ in our lives, of allowing him to carry the weight of us. We don't have to be popular to get God's love poured out on us. God has already poured that love out on us. How comforting is that? God accepts us already. We don't have to prove ourselves to him. In our lives, we often have to work at being loved and accepted by other people. Not so with God. God has already sent his son Jesus to die for each one of us whilst we were still sinners. Come to me, says Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. We are accepted. We're forgiven. We are sufficiently covered in God's grace this morning. So why do we find it so hard to prioritize putting God first in our lives? We do, though, don't we? It can be really tricky, and it's hard to take up the challenge. And yet Paul, at the beginning of this passage, bit before what we read in verses 1-6, he says about how hard he worked to be perfect for God, how he followed the law, how he was a Pharisee, how he had reason to believe in himself because of the kind of person he was. And yet God literally brought him to his knees, didn't he, on the road to Damascus. And he recognized that there was nothing that he could do. It was all about Jesus. And he tells us here at the beginning of chapter 3 that it's not about what we can do for ourselves. It's not about working it out, because God already loves us. He's already accepted us. He already has his arms wide open to welcome us. Come, says Jesus, believe in me. It's that simple. Stop your striving. Lean heavily on God. The message of knowing God is that simple. Come. Rest, repent, know, seek, remain. For Paul, knowing God was absolutely everything. His first priority, his drive for each day, his one desire. Is it ours? Don't get me wrong, it's so easy, isn't it, to forget this priority. We start to worry. If you're me, you start to plan. You start to talk to other people. You wake in the middle of the night. That's my default responses. And it's not so dissimilar in some ways when we're stressed about, when we're happy about things, when life is good and it's busy and we get going into the day and we forget to stop equally to ensure that God is utterly Lord of our lives. As Christians, we need to constantly strive to make Christ Lord in every part of our lives, to be completely under his lordship. And there's a sense of security in that, isn't there? If God is in control, then we don't need to fear. We don't need to worry. And yet life so easily comes in and consumes us. We are human. We are weak. We're so in need of our God. He is our Lord. Even in our weakness, he wants to be Lord of all parts. Have a look with me. If you've got your Bible nearby, grab a Bible and Philippians chapter 3. Verses 7 to 8 are quite interesting. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 8. It was 1,800 and something in the Pew Bible. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Do you notice the difference here between these two verses? In verse 7, Paul says, whatever. There's that sense of the things that is mentioned in the previous verses about being a Pharisee and working hard at his faith, of the person he tried to be through the law, doing the right thing. So whatever was to my profit. But then by verse 8, Paul is now the new Paul. He's not Saul anymore, he's Paul. And he uses the word everything. Paul, like us, had to progress in his faith. He had an amazing testimony meeting God on the Damascus Road. He was literally stopped in his tracks. God turned his life around. And at that point, Paul was able to give the whatever to God. Yet as his faith progressed, he understood more and more and learned about God and was able to say that everything now, not the whatever, but everything is rubbish in comparison to knowing God. Our lives are a progression, aren't they? We have reached that wonderful, wonderful time of our lives in our house when Jemima is learning to play the recorder. I made the mistake of buying one at Christmas as well. I don't know what possessed me that day going on to Amazon. But anyway, she now considers herself to be fluent and competent in playing. She's learned to play B and A. There's no telling her. There's no helping her. She knows how to play the recorder. It's lovely. And our lives, you know, we wish they were like that, don't we? That we could get something just like that, but it doesn't work like that. And the older we get, the more we realize that actually we still have so much more to learn. In our faith, we need that sense of progression in our lives as well. We haven't learnt it all back when we're 20 and gave our lives to Christ. It's a progression. We grow in our faith. But hopefully, each one of us can sit here this morning and say, I've got a deeper root in Christ now than I did 5 years ago. I know Christ more now than I did 20 years ago. And that's what Paul's saying here. His faith has progressed from the whatever to everything. He knows now that there's absolutely nothing in his life that's worth anything in comparison to knowing Christ as his Lord. Do you echo that this morning? Paul's priority was focusing on Jesus, on knowing him, of being found in him, of living in his power, of trusting him for mercy, for forgiveness, for leading, for guiding, to know Christ, to know his power. The power that even raised Jesus from the dead is available to every single Christian, even today. To fellowship with him, whatever the cost, willing to put Jesus first, for Jesus to have lordship over every part of his life. What a testimony was that. I hope ours is the same, that we're willing for Jesus to have lordship over every part of our lives. Not a flash in the pan, a little bit here or there. What we're thinking about this morning is about Jesus taking every new day, seeking to put Christ first. As Christians, our life's calling, our continual preoccupation. I love Paul's use of the word rubbish in this passage. We read it a couple of times now. I count it as rubbish compared with knowing Jesus. Can you imagine wanting to go out? Monday morning is our collection day for our black bins. And imagine going out, grabbing all your neighbour's black sacks and bringing them home because you want to collect their rubbish and hold on to it. You can't bear anything to be thrown away. It's a horrible thought, isn't it? Has anybody here ever had to do that task of opening your bin up because you're absolutely sure you've left something in there that's really important? Your ring's gone missing, or the money that you had on the work surface that was next to the peelings, and somewhere in that bin is what you need to find, and you've had to go down it. Oh, I've had that even this week. It wasn't nice. Rubbish is not nice. And Paul says, even the blessings of my life are like rubbish in comparison to knowing Jesus. He is my everything. We can't pass through this passage, though, without a number of challenges. And the first one has to be the question of whether Jesus is even Lord of your life. Have you ever prayed a prayer to ask Jesus to be Lord? If you haven't, nothing is in comparison to knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus is the best part of life. And there was that verse earlier that said, you know, every knee will bow one day. Everybody will get to heaven and will have to worship God. But they're not blessed like they could have been. The best place is to know Jesus in the here and now, today, in your lives. So if you haven't asked Jesus to be your Lord, don't leave here without asking one of the prayer team or one of your friends to pray with you, that you can invite Jesus to be your Lord and your Saviour. It's the best place to be. Second challenge is for those of us who have made that commitment, but we struggle to make Jesus our priority in any real sense. We need to confess our weaknesses and our failures. We need to confess our lack of drive, or perhaps how easily we get distracted and we turn away. And we need to ask God to renew a right spirit in us today, to change our hearts, to make our desire for him greater, that we can leave here seeking him. There was a conference I went to as a teenager. It was the National Baptist Youth Assembly. And I remember at that point there was somebody stood up to speak, and they shared how sometimes we need to pray a pre-prayer almost. God, I know I'm supposed to want to prioritize you, but I don't even have that drive in my heart, to be honest. And so he said, make that prayer. Pray, God, make me want to prioritize you. So if you haven't even got that drive this morning, yet you're a Christian sitting here, ask God, be honest with him. Say, God, put that desire in my heart. Make me want to prioritize you so that I can move forward with you, because I seem to lack it. God wants honesty in our prayer lives. I absolutely, wholeheartedly believe that. He knows what's going on in our heart. And if we haven't even got that desire in the first place, well, let's ask him to give us that desire to drive us forward. It's about being honest, and it's about having the courage to recognize that our attitudes aren't necessarily right. God, change me. They're the first two challenges. Is Jesus your Lord? If not, invite him in. Secondly, is Jesus your priority really on a daily basis? If not, then ask him to help you to make him so. And then thirdly, maybe these verses are also ones which you love. It's your heart's desire. Thank God for that drive that is placed in your heart. Ask him to keep that flame burning ever brighter. Pray that your love for him would never tire, that it would never grow cold, that your faith would keep fresh, that you would keep seeking him daily. Surround yourself with resources that inspire you and challenge you. Fill your life with like-minded Christians. Jemima, would we go to church if I wasn't working? Yes, absolutely. I need other Christians to worship with, to hone me, refine me, to shape me. Paul tells us to keep on pushing on. In verse 12 onwards, it says this: not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are then mature should take such a view of such things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Paul's example is so helpful here. He was an apostle with a capital A, a man who had met Jesus, a sent one by Christ himself, given the role of sharing the gospel. Paul is right up there on the list of supreme human examples of how to live the Christian walk, of making Christ Lord of all in his life. And yet here in this part of the passage, there are four elements that he gives us to help us to follow his example. Firstly, a correct self-estimate in 13a, he says this: brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of this. Brothers, Paul puts himself as a leader, but not exempt any more than anybody else in the pursuit of Christ as our priority. I think it can be easy for people to look at a minister and think that we've got it all together. Clearly, the ministers must be spiritual. Clearly, they must pray and read their Bibles and worship. But you know what? We are no different to anybody else. We have a calling of God on our lives. And yeah, we certainly should be making sure these things are priority. But as a minister, we still have to work at prioritizing. Our work can get so busy. I've got a sermon to write. I've got to visit the sick. I've got a course that I've got to run. Just like every other Christian, we too have to ensure that we keep prioritizing our relationship with Christ. There's absolutely no sense that we have made it, that we are perfect. We all need to have a correct self-estimate of ourselves. We need to be honest before God, and we need to be honest about what our relationship with him really looks like in order that we can keep on pushing on. Like Paul, I stand here this morning and say, I've not yet taken hold of this. I seek that Jesus is my Lord, but daily it's a striving to make sure that he is truly Lord of all, my holy priority. Brothers and sisters this morning here at RBC, may we firstly know that we are all running this race together. We're battling it, but we're equals before God. And secondly, let each one of us strive to make Jesus Lord of all our lives this week. Not having perfected it, but increasingly seeking to become more like Christ. And then there's a third thing that Paul does in this passage in verses 13 and 14. He says, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. If any of you have ever tried to lose weight, if ever you have tried to follow a diet, then you'll understand these verses very well. Each day is a new day. Each day is a fresh start. We might have gotten a little carried away of the calories the day before, but today is a new day. We start again. We put those cakes out of sight. We hide the chocolate. We don't stop at the bakery on the way to work. We make a conscious decision to push on. Today is a new day. We're going to reclaim those calories. We're going to work them off. And that's making the change that we want to do. But it's jolly hard along the way for most of us. And Paul has this same kind of drive for keep on pushing on and not giving up. He wants us to learn from the lessons of the past and our failures of the past. But he doesn't want us to hold on to them and to retain them. He's emphasizing that they should not hold us back. So he says, forget about the past. He wants us to learn from the past, but move on. Don't let it hold you back. Maybe God had very little priority in your life yesterday, during your Saturday, whatever it contained. Maybe you didn't live in a way that's honored God very well this week. Maybe you haven't got things right, but learn from last week. Take those lessons that you need to take and leave them behind. Don't let your guilt hold you back from making the most of this coming week. Seize the day. Today is a new day. This week is a new week. How can I push on today to make God my priority? What can I do tomorrow to make sure God is my priority? And so fourthly, what spurs Paul on? Well, he's put it in that verse that we just read in verse 14. Paul points us heavenward. His drive, his daily desire is to know Christ, that he has a heavenly perspective as he enters the world, as he has an eternal point of view. Everything around him is temporary, but Paul encourages us. He exhorts us to change where we're looking, to realize that the things that we deal with every day are the temporary things. We have to contend with them, but Christ is beside us, walking with us. Paul's eternal perspective was his driving force and needs to become ours too. And so, in conclusion, how do we respond to this deeply beautiful but challenging passage before you? How do you respond to it? What does the title, Holy Priorities, Your Focus, mean to you in your day-to-day decisions? Are you going to listen to the Holy Spirit this week? Do you notice God involved in your life? Do you get a sense of God in the busyness of your day? One of the things I don't want from this morning is that sense of guilt to drive us forward. That is not helpful. But what I want you to hear is Paul's excitement. He says it's by grace we're saved, not by works. He says we want to have a faith that utterly relies on God. Do you want him to be Lord of all this week? Trust you do. We've made it here today. Prioritize Jesus. Bring him in. Invite him in throughout your working day. Know that he cares for you. Know that he loves you. Spend the time with him, praying, studying, worshiping. But keep him in the middle of everything you do this week. Sermon for me, yeah, I want God to be my priority. I want to keep working on that. Am I willing to offload my cares and burdens onto him? I really want to. I've got to keep working at it. In this season of life, I absolutely believe there's nothing for any of us sitting here this morning that's as worthwhile as knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord in every part of our lives, relying on him. All I once held dear, built my life upon, is worth nothing compared to knowing you, Jesus. There is no greater thing. You are my all. You're my best. You're my joy, my righteousness. Do we echo that last line together today? I love you, Lord. That is what our focus and our true priorities must be. Amen.